40. Futility.
A Gangolan's size is practically unrivaled among other beasts of our world. The only creature of comparable size would be the mythical dragons.
From Colvin R. Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 256. Now atop the tower's fourth tier, Felinia whispered the words to a variation of a powerful incantation, one that would muster a swarm of disintegrating orbs. It was a spell that had taken a great deal of discipline to master. Even so, what she intended to do with it exceeded anything she had ever done. Violet disintegrating light surged around her, coalescing into spherical clouds that colored her vision. Though it looked as if it were one expansive aura, there were over 100 of those clouds hovering around her. She neared the end of the incantation, but repeated the words of an earlier segment. Through her forming magic, she watched as the Aurith monster recovered from its bizarre transformation. It turned on the mages and lifted several into the air, squeezing their barjans. A squad leader called for the mages to pull back, and they ran between the tree-like buildings.
"You cannot flee!"
the Aurith monster bellowed, chasing after the mages and kicking several across the clearing. The soldiers hurried after the creature, joined by Amandal's conjurations. As they ran, four robed figures dashed into the clearing, each shielded by barjan, undoubtedly the barjanists who had sealed off the other stairwells. They chased after the soldiers, mustering their magics. Now only a lone figure remained in the clearing, kneeling among the corpses. Was that Jacob? A surge of magic, what color she couldn't tell, flowed to the corpses, and one of the dead soldiers rose from the ground, grabbing one of the Tevisrol weapons. Another dead man stood, followed by another. Shifting her focus, Felinia returned her concentration to her forming magic. She repeated the earlier segment several times, then continued with the rest of the incantation. Focused on the violet clouds immediately around her, she willed them to condense, forming fist-sized spheres. She repeated the final segment over and over, and each time more spheres took shape. As they coalesced, it became harder and harder to maintain their forms. It was a struggle to keep them from breaking apart and dissipating into oblivion. Soon the expansive aura was no more, and nearly 200 destructive orbs had formed. Her hands quivered as she brought them together.
"Focus."
She sucked in her breath and glanced to the necromancer raising the dead soldiers. 12 were standing now. She exhaled and searched for the battle. The Aurath monster had reached the expedition's camp, gripping several mages. It shattered the barjan of one and hurled the limp victim toward what was the mess area.
"The neck,"
she told herself, her voice shaky. Taking another deep breath, she willed three of the orbs to fly from the tower. They zipped in an arc, moving one after the other. Felinia focused on the lead orb, guiding it toward the monster. The orbs wove around its rear limbs and struck the Aurith monster's neck. Her foe jerked as the other two orbs followed, but only one struck true. The third sped to the ground, but Felinia managed to redirect it, sending it upward in a wide arc.
"Go!"
She willed three others to speed across the roost. They joined the third from the first volley. She rained them down upon the Aurath monster, but only half struck the wretched thing. The others plummeted into the grassy ground, eroding the teal blades and the dirt beneath them. While readying a third volley, faint cries echoed across the roost. Felinia turned, watching a crowd charge toward the partly broken-down camp, all shielded in a variety of barjans.
"Good," she whispered, hurling the third volley. "Now we can end you."
Fench trembled as he flew from his family's rooms, carrying the things that were most precious to him.
"Stupid two legs,"
he thought, clutching his family's gray bag that was stuffed full. His parents claimed the bag had been used by his father's father when he first came to the roost. His mother's helm bobbed on his head, occasionally obscuring his vision.
"I shouldn't have helped them."
His mother had warned him. She had been right.
"Except they aren't all bad."
His thoughts turned to Amandal while he wove around the tall homes.
"If Amandal had not been hurt by the Aurath monster, maybe none of this would have happened."
Faint booms echoed softly above him while he zipped toward the river. Fench followed it to the pit, but the two legs were gone. Only their sacks and packs lay about, gathered beside the water. Some things were piled atop one another, others were put in nice rows. Fench fluttered to a stop, hovering in the air.
Where did they go?
To their deaths, a deep voice said.
Surprised, Fench flitted toward the voice. A two-leg sat atop a pile of packs wearing what Amandal called a robe. It was red with funny lines in it. The two-leg stroked the white hairs on his face, eyeing Fench.
It seems one of you had the right idea,
the two-leg said, sighing.
A pity Amandal isn't with you. That would have made this ordeal a lot simpler.
Fench blinked and his trunk stiffened. Looking at the two-leg made him feel sick. It was worse than seeing the Orath monster.
Frightened, Fench?
The two-leg asked, chuckling. He smiled, and the skin around his eyes made lines.
You have nothing to fear from me. In fact, I want to help you.
The fear grew, and Fench felt his wings beating slower and slower until his tail touched the grass.
But first, you'll have to find some courage, the two-leg said, rising from the packs.
He jumped onto the grass without a sound. The other two legs had made the grass crunch as they walked, but this one didn't. Still stroking those hairs on his face, the two-leg looked up toward the distant booms.
Otherwise, you and Amandal will never make it to safety.
The two-leg knelt in front of Fench and leaned close. Fench wanted to fly away, but he couldn't.
Come with me,
the two-leg said, raising a finger toward Fench's face.
I have something important to show you.
Vayam struggled against the barjan, pinning her to the cot. Each jolt caused the pain in her shoulder to flare, but she had to escape. Once the battle had started, the barjan pinning her had flickered several times. She supposed Mojadayan was losing his focus. Mages tended to stretch themselves thin if they tried mustering too much magic.
That's why Tevis rolls are better.
The explosions and cries were growing louder with each passing moment.
I hope he dies, Keitel said amid grunts and groans. Then we can be free.
She too had started struggling when the barjan began flickering.
We can only hope,
Vayam said through clenched teeth. The pain intensified and she gasped. She ceased thrashing and instinctively pressed herself against the cot, but even that was painful. Vayam squeezed her eyes shut. A growl left Keitel's lips as she continued struggling. The lieutenant swore under her breath and whispered a prayer. The barjan flickered again, then lessened in vibrancy. Pushing through her pain, Vayam struggled once again. A thunderous crash resounded from outside the tent, followed by another explosion. The barjan continued flickering as something struck the tent's ceiling. The tent poles snapped and fabric fell toward Vayam, veiling her face. A tremendous force struck her left leg, breaking bone and cot. Keitel's prayer was cut short. Overcome by the excruciating pain, Vayam watched as the tent was ripped from her, pulled away by a towering figure. The fabric rippled in the air but soon fell, revealing one of those earthen conjurations. It dashed away, moving out of her vision. A deafening roar rippled through the air amid more explosions. She struggled to lift her head and called for the lieutenant, but Keitel didn't answer. Gritting her teeth against the pain, Vayam struggled to turn toward her fellow captive. But where the lieutenant should have lain was a bloodied mess, oozing from a flickering band of inverted barjan. The sight wrenched Vayam's stomach, and she squeezed her eyes shut.
I am doomed.
Amandal skidded to a halt as his earthen giant recovered. Though his conjurations landed only an occasional blow, he was learning the tells for each of Orath Issian's movements. Unfortunately, the monster had slain most of their forces, including three of the Cisthern. To Amandal's surprise, their deaths hadn't been painful. The other two Cisthern he kept beside him. Roars from the monster and shouted incantations filled the air, accented by an occasional wail of agony. Disintegrating orbs plummeted toward Orathisian, striking the back of his neck, his flailing arms, and the ground around him. Only a handful of soldiers remained, but the monster ignored them. He also ignored the conjurations, using his tail or rear arms to swat their blows away. He focused on the mages old Kali had brought with him, strategically slaying them. The Arpranists had fallen first, then the Barjanists, except Morjadayan. For some reason, the monster hadn't turned on Amandal or his friends.
"He's planning something," Amandal thought.
"We need to try binding him again,"
Dougal cried as he joined Amandal and looked around, frantic.
"Where is everyone else?"
Morjadayan stumbled past the transmuter, mustering more of his magic. He had replenished the barjans of the remaining soldiers, but he was struggling to maintain all of them.
"It's no use," Amandal thought.
If they did manage to trap Orathisian again, he would only free himself by transforming.
But if he transformed into a human, would he be more susceptible to Felinia's orbs?
Orathisian snatched the last three of old Kali's mages while grabbing one of the soldiers. Only four remained, including the old commander. Despite all their efforts, Orathisian showed no signs of slowing his relentless assault.
"Perhaps I should have fled," Amandal thought, but shook the cowardly notion aside. No, the old codger was not going to manipulate him.
They could stop Orathisian. He just knew it. The mage's barjans flickered as they continued mustering their magics, flame, arcane, and lightning. All the while, faint noises carried through the camp. Amandal craned his neck toward the sounds, and they soon rose to a clamor of incantations, armored footfalls, and battle cries. Mirrodin charged past, leading the rest of the expedition. But unlike Calamir's force, they hadn't any Tevisrol weapons.
"Perhaps that's a good thing."
Orathisian spun on the reinforcements.
"Ah, more playthings," he cackled, shattering the barjans of those in his grasp.
Strangled screams interrupted the forming magic. Flame evaporated, lightning flickered, and the arcane cloud dissipated. Orathisian crushed those mages as three of Felinia's orbs struck his neck. The monster jerked away, dodging two more that disintegrated the ground. He glanced toward the tower, baring his obsidian teeth.
"Don't you dare go after her," Amandal thought, watching the soldiers and mercenaries surround Orathisian.
The reinforcing mages encircled Amandal, several unleashing destructive blasts. He scanned the newcomers, but couldn't discern their disciplines by their clothes. Several weren't mustering magic.
"Everyone! Listen to me," he shouted, waving his hands in the air. "We need to coordinate if we want to kill him. We need to trap him so he transforms again."
Amandal explained his plan, and many of the mages looked confused, but no one opposed him. While he finished with the instructions, mangled soldiers approached from the tree trunk buildings, each glowing with a dark purple hue and wielding Tevisrol weapons. Jacob ran beside them.
"And hopefully that'll give her time to strike," Amandal finished, glancing to the necromancer.
Jacob stumbled to a halt near Ilden, breathing deeply.
"I need you to enhance them. I want them to jump on the monster's back."
Amandal flinched as a limp soldier flew between him and Jacob, tumbling across the teal grass. The soldier stopped rolling, his face turned toward Amandal. It was Dardel. His jaw was slack and his eyes wide. Ilden muttered a lament and sucked in his breath. Incantations sounded from the other mages, and Amandal glanced back to the battle. Orathisian swatted a soldier with his tail, hurling the woman past what remained of the camp. Six more of Felinia's orbs rushed toward the monster, but only two struck. The other four nearly hit the ground, barely zipping above the grass.
"Seems the more orbs she expends, the better control she has," he thought, then turned to Ilden.
"Tell Felinia what we plan to do."
The illusionist nodded and sent one of his illusions flying over the Tulidine homes. Returning his focus to the incantations, Amandal parsed what should have been a jumble.
Two transmutations and three ensnaring tentacles.
Dougal had already begun humming the last of his incantation.
Six should work, he thought, waiting for the others to hold their spells.
"She's ready,"
Ilden said. Amandal nodded, noting the six mages exhaling the last few sounds of their incantations. He raised his hand into the air, then swung it down, signaling the others to unleash their magic.
Green tendrils shot from the crowd while brown and teal sludge arced into the air. Orathisian, however, noticed the approaching magic and burst with orange light. He shot like lightning, landing between Amandal and the soldiers. The ensnaring tentacles and the transmuted ground arced above the now human Orathisian. The monster turned man, eyed the mages as six disintegrating orbs swirled around the arcing transmutations. Orathisian spun, undoubtedly hearing the approaching magic, and dove sideways. The orbs neared his left leg as he erupted in another orange flash. Had they hit? Orange lightning surged toward the camp, flashing once again. The monstrous silhouette staggered as the light faded. He bellowed a deafening roar, laced with pain and fury, and bared his obsidian teeth. A large hole marred his left leg, exposing partly eroded orange muscles and red sinews hanging from black bone. "So it did work," Amandal smiled. "That's how we kill him." He willed his conjurations to charge while considering a plan, but the monster had transformed upon seeing the danger. What if he couldn't see?
"How clever," Orathisian growled, and more orbs arced toward him.
He dodged, landing near a robed figure huddled in the wrecked camp. Green Arpran light flowed from the mage and surged into someone Amandal couldn't see. Orathisian's leg buckled and he snatched the Arpranist with his tail, green light trailing through the air. Focused through his conjurations, Amandal saw a dark-haired feminine figure crawling from the monster's hind leg. She wore a single red glove on her right hand. Vayam. Was the Arpranist trying to mend her? The monster ignored Vayam, steadying himself against the charging soldiers, mercenaries, and conjurations.
"You humans are proving to be more troublesome than I expected."
Orathisian hurled the Arpranist at the advancing Yeltis. Amandal made the conjuration dodge, but before he recovered, the monster burst with orange light. Orathisian zipped past the charging soldiers and mercenaries, but no sooner had he become human than he erupted once again. Orange lightning shot past the nearby buildings, and Orathisian retook his monstrous form, charging toward the tower. Amandal willed his earthen giants after the monster. They had to intercept Orathisian before he reached Faelinia. Calamir called for everyone to turn, and the expedition ran after the conjurations, weaving around the tree-trunk buildings.
"Come,"
he commanded the Yeltis, warily watching Orathisian through the other conjurations. "I have a special task for you," he told the Yeltis. "You and I are going to kill that monster." Faelinia launched another volley of orbs as the Orath monster advanced. Its heavy footfalls echoed off the tree-like buildings as it approached. The others were chasing after it, but they were too slow. She gritted her teeth, guiding the orbs to the monster's neck. The first two missed, but the third struck true. She redirected the volley as the monster galloped into the clearing.
"I'll try to distract it," Ildin said through his illusion.
"You are troublesome, Faelinia,"
the monster bellowed, leaping toward the tower. She staggered at the sound of her name. How did it know who she was? The monster landed atop the lowest tier, then swiftly ascended. Ildin's illusion flew toward the monster, but it ignored the magic. Before Faelinia could send more orbs to her foe, the Orath monster towered in front of her. It reached for her, and Faelinia willed 24 orbs toward the wretched thing. The violet spheres struck, but the disintegrating magic barely tore through the ebony hide. In that same instant, the monster snatched her with its left hand.
"Such spirit,"
the Orath monster cackled, lifting her toward those violet eyes. It growled as her disintegrating barjan began to tear through its hand. The monster squeezed harder, attempting to shatter her barjan.
"No."
She willed 12 more to fly and struck the monster's eye. The thing screamed. She willed more to strike, hoping to distract it and give the others a chance to converge. An enraged growl washed around her as that violet eye met her gaze. She stilled as an overpowering will far stronger than her own penetrated her thoughts. It felt akin to an enthralling spell, but was much stronger. Images of her life flashed before her, and she felt her orbs dissipate. So did her disintegrating barjan. Only Morjadayan's barrier remained. That orange haze wafted against the form-fitting barjan, but soon fell. The images soon overtook her, and she relived the entirety of their trip across the Abadine wasteland. The moments with Amandal became intense flashes of passion, and she yearned to be with him. The barjan from Morjadayan flickered as she relived her ascent up the tower.
"Perfect," the monster said.
A pink blast flashed behind the monster and it jolted. Belinia gasped as her gaze no longer met those violet eyes.
"What was that?"
The Orith monster leapt from the tower's fourth tier and hurled Felinia away. She spun through the air, helplessly glimpsing the others as they converged upon the monster.
"I have to redirect."
The barjan shattered as she struck something hard. Her head hit that same surface and she fell. But before she landed, everything went black. Morjadayan started as his barjan around Felinia shattered. She had been hurled from the tower, but she had moved so quickly that he couldn't tell where she had been thrown. Soldiers darted past him, as did Amandal's earthen conjurations, but not the Yeltis. Neither of the massive weapons had a disintegrating imbuing.
Had the monster killed Felinia?
Frantic cries from Amandal carried over the advancing force.
He really is mad,
Morjadayan thought. He continued running and mustering more of his magic. There was no point trying to trap the monster when it could simply free itself at any moment. Better to protect the soldiers and mercenaries. They wove around the tree-like buildings and bounded into the clearing where the Orath monster stood, ready to pounce.
"Your efforts are futile," it shouted. "Now give me the Tulidyne and I will end you swiftly."
Barjans formed over those at the head and the monster lunged. It tore through their ranks, snatching soldier and mage alike. Morjadayan threw himself out of the way, rolling over the teal grass. The Orath monster charged past, but before Morjadayan could recover, a black streak flew toward his barjan. A tremendous force struck the barrier, sending him tumbling through the air. He flew past several tree-like buildings. Then he hit one and fell.
"Great,"
he grumbled, and looked around. He could barely see the battle, which was almost a grand finial away. Several of his barjan barriers shattered, followed by dying wails that filled the air. Eruptions flashed above the tree-like buildings, but no amount of deadly magic seemed to faze the monster. The others shackled the Orath monster, but the wretched thing escaped in a blinding flash.
"Will this ever end?"
Sucking in his breath, Morjadayan ran back to the battle, mustering more of his magic. The Orath monster transformed again, resuming its relentless rampage. Calamir struck the monster's maimed leg as the mages tried shackling the beast. But as before, once the monster was bound, it became a ball of light. The monster turned man, landed among the reanimated soldiers, pried a Tevisrol weapon from a walking corpse, and then darted toward Calamir and the others. How it moved with that wounded leg was beyond Calamir's understanding. Mirrodin and many others converged, but the monster shattered a woman's barjan, spun around her, and gleefully shoved his blade through her back. Magic raced toward the monster-turned-man, but the thing evaded and burst once again. Shielding his eyes, Calamir took in the battle with a sweeping glance. To his dismay, the monster had killed 10 more of his men and women. Despite Ildin's efforts to coordinate with the mages, the monster continued freeing himself. "At this rate, none of us will survive this." 18 more had died since the battle returned to the clearing. Dougal grumbled beside him.
"This isn't working. We have to try something else."
"I'm trying to climb my undead," Jacob blurted, "but he just keeps moving too fast."
"I'm not talking about your pets,"
Dougal snapped.
If only Felinia hadn't been hurled away.
A call from Amandal rang over the pandemonium and Ildin spun. The conjurer stood beside one of those strange buildings with his cisterns, waving for Ildin to come to him. Wary, he glanced back to his friends.
"Amandal wants us."
Dougal didn't move, but Jacob stumbled beside Ildin. Another call came, and Ildin hurried to Amandal with Jacob. The conjurer's face was twisted in anger.
"I have a plan to kill him, but I need a distraction."
"How?"
Jacob asked.
"Your last plan isn't working."
Ildin raised an eyebrow at the necromancer, but turned back to Amandal. The conjurer shook his head and waved his hands dismissively.
"You're doing it all wrong. You have to lure him to the right spot, then hit him."
"Set a trap? But what would—"
Ildin snapped his fingers.
"An illusion of Fench."
"Precisely.
And hidden transmutations, like what Dougal did to those kids under the tree all those years ago."
under the tree? Ildin couldn't recall the incident. With Fendar, Amandal added, masking the ground. We just do that here, to him. He pointed to the monster. Him? Ildin turned, looking back to the battle. Others were now in the monster's grasp. Had they lost another four? We don't have much time, Amandal said. Now can you make an illusion of Finch? Ildin considered it. It was possible for illusionists to craft likenesses without having first copied the individual, but it might take longer than we have. The beating of wings carried around the building, then Finch fluttered overhead, holding that rod of his. He dove toward Amandal, hovering beside him. That's fortuitous, Ildin thought. Perfect, the conjurer cheered, then pointed to Jacob. That'll save us some time. Now hold Dougal over here. Amandal led his friends around the battle, moving in the direction he supposed Felinia had been hurled. Though her imbuings on the swords had vanished, Amandal prayed she was still alive. They stopped a grand finial from the clearing and Dougal began transmuting the ground. Amandal didn't want to take any chances, so he had the transmuter prepare a dozen spots. Unfortunately, that was rather taxing for poor Dougal. While Ildin masked the ground, Amandal explained his plan to Finch. I want you to lead him here. He pointed to the grass between him and the farthest spot of liquefied ground. Can you do that? Finch nodded. He didn't seem worried in the slightest that Amandal wanted to use him as bait. Perhaps that was because Amandal was risking himself as well. And give me your rod. He expected Finch to resist, but the winged creature willingly handed it over and explained how to use it. I'll have Ildin and Dougal make a copy for you to hold. Amandal reached out to his earthen giants to observe the battle. During their preparations, another 40 had been killed. Orithisian, however, was not unscathed. The expedition had inflicted some harm, and the abrasion upon his neck was larger. This better work, he thought, hoping the codger would answer one way or the other, but he didn't. Probably because he wants me to leave. We're ready, Ildin called. Amandal told his friends to replicate the Tulidine weapon, then rode his cistern a few hundred finials from the spot he had pointed out to Finch. Turning back to the spot, Amandal hefted the rod, holding it up so he could look down it like a channeling staff. Though he had never wielded a channeling staff, he had read plenty of accounts of how they were used. As children, he and Arentil had often played games of make-believe and used branches as those fabled weapons. Probably should practice, he thought, turning aside and aiming at a nearby Tulidine home. He pressed a small oval indent on the rod's end, and a violet beam flew from the three-pronged tip. The magic struck the bark-like surface within a heartbeat, boring a hole through the building. Odd that it works here, he thought, recalling how the weapon did not damage the shifting halls. Putting the thought aside, he gauged the distance between him and the spot where he wanted Finch to fly to, then searched for a building an equal distance away. There. He pressed the indent again, noting the time it took for the beam to strike. Finch zipped away and Amandal's friends concealed themselves under veils of invisibility. Best I do the same. Whitish-blue particles surged around him and the cistern, enveloping them in a veil of invisibility. Time to move you, he thought, reaching out to the nearby Yeltis. It too was invisible, and Amandal willed it to climb a home behind him. Holding the transmuted blade in its mouth, the conjuration used those round openings to climb up the building. As the Yeltis reached the top, Finch flew into the clearing. Amandal watched through his conjurations as the winged creature yelled to Orithisian, demanding that he get out of his home. The monster spun and bolted after Finch. He took that rather easily, Amandal thought. Perhaps too easily. No, the monster had a single purpose, and catching Finch was central to it. Soon, Finch flew between the buildings ahead of Amandal, with Orithisian bounding right behind him. No more than a heartbeat later, a dozen spires of earthen slush shot from the ground. But before they solidified, Orithisian burst with orange light. Amandal fought the urge to blink as the lightning zipped toward him. It struck the ground farther away than he expected, becoming that ball of orange light. Amandal took aim at the burly silhouette and instinctively recalculated the timing of his blast. Now! He fired a disintegrating beam. It sped toward the fading light as Orithisian appeared. Before the monster-turned-man could move, the violet magic struck Orithisian's naked belly, eroding flesh and evoking a surprised growl. He staggered, and Amandal fired again and again. Orithisian began to glow as the magic neared him. The beams were swallowed within the orange burst, and if they struck, Amandal could not tell. The transformative lightning arced above Amandal and zipped past him. Good, he thought, turning his cistern. Orithisian burst once again, but farther away than Amandal expected. The monstrous silhouette staggered from the orange ball, 100 finials past the perched Yeltis. He's too far, Amandal thought. I'll have to lure him back. He dismissed his invisibility and readied his borrowed weapon.
Clever!
Orithisian bellowed, wobbling from the fading light. He turned about, undoubtedly looking for Finch. Amandal had lost track of him, too. He'd begun firing the rod when a gray flash zipped from above. Finch fluttered past Amandal and toward the now advancing force. Orithisian ignored the blasts, fixed his gaze upon Finch, and lunged awkwardly. As he neared the perched conjuration, Amandal willed the Yeltis to jump. The invisible beast landed upon Orithisian's back, slamming its transmuted weapon into the abrasion on the monster's neck. Though it was not imbued, the blade still pierced flesh. Reeling, Orithisian unleashed deafening screams. The monster staggered and attempted to buck the Yeltis off, but Amandal willed the beast to grab one of Orithisian's horns while holding tight to the transmuted sword. The blade continued sinking through flesh as monster and conjuration neared. Orithisian's tail whipped about, but instead of arcing for the Yeltis, it sped toward Amandal. Surprised, he reared the cistern upon its hind legs and fell backward. Orithisian's tail shattered the conjuration's barjan, impaling the cistern. The dead conjuration was flung away before Amandal hit the ground. The tail arced to strike again as the blade jerked in the Yeltis's grasp. It sank farther into Orithisian's neck, and the monster jolted. His tail floundered as he tumbled forward. His screams ceased, and Orithisian crashed into the ground. The Yeltis, still invisible, leaned to twist the transmuted sword in Orithisian's neck, but the blade wouldn't budge. Amandal staggered to his feet and felt the monster twitching beneath the Yeltis.
Are you truly dead?
His friends gathered around, and Finch fluttered overhead. Soon the rest of the expedition arrived, but halted upon seeing the twitching Orithisian. The reanimated soldiers, however, climbed atop the convulsing monster.
We did it! Ildin shouted. It's dead!
More triumphant cries filled the air, but Amandal ignored them. He reached out to his last cistern and willed it to him. He dismissed the concealing veil around the Yeltis while commanding the elementals to surround the twitching monster. If Orithisian wasn't dead, then he best keep the conjurations close. Once the cistern neared, Amandal climbed atop it, willing it into a gallop and shouting for Felinia. He had to find her. He would rather rot in this miserable place than abandon her to it.